God's plan for the world. Ask yourself a question. What is wrong with our world? If you don't agree that we have problems, you are living on another planet. The reality is there is little self-discipline. Self-indulgence leads to little or no respect for law and values. Do you think that this is a fair society? Corruption, immorality, violence, drug and alcohol abuse, hijacking, kidnapping, theft, child abuse, rape, and murder flourish in an undisciplined society which ignores God. Moral decline has also led to discontent, escapism, selfishness, mental illness like never before, and an increase in suicides. Societies and economies are falling apart, especially since the advent of COVID-19. At the same time, the world population is growing by 50 million people a year. It's a terrible fact that every day more than 15,000 children under the age of 5 die from starvation and disease. Climate change is making us rethink about feeding the world and where we can live. Civil unrest is an everyday occurrence, even in countries where it is not legally tolerated. Acts of terrorism can happen anywhere at any time. War has never been far from the reality of the lives of so many people. Humankind has a terrible track record, and left to itself has a bleak future. It is a somber picture. Why is the world in such a mess? Lack of faith in God and disobedience to his laws have brought about these great evils. From the beginning, man chose his own way instead of God's way. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and created a gulf between God and humanity. God called this disobedience sin, and we, the whole human race, have been sinning ever since. Jesus Christ, God's Son, described it like this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. That is a terrible but accurate list. The Apostle James adds, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this that your passions are at war within you? That's a quote from James chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's face it, without God, man is in a hopeless, desperate condition. Human nature needs changing. But don't despair. When God sent Jesus Christ back to the earth, things are going to get better, much better. So does God have a plan for the world? He certainly does, and his words in the Bible tell us all about it. Ask yourself, what does the world need? Compare your ideas with these. World ruler, peace, no starvation, good health, no corrupt leaders, freedom from fear and oppression, a common language, no arms race, just laws, help for the poor and homeless, and no pollution. And most importantly, the world needs God's laws to be known, to be understood, and to be obeyed. God has promised to achieve all these ideals through Jesus Christ and his faithful, immortal helpers. The Bible has a phrase for such a time of blessing: the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that God will not permit the sad state of this present world to go on forever, but will replace man's rule and mismanagement with his divine arrangements. There will come a time so bad that nothing men do will put things right. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21 says, "For then there will be great distress, unequalled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equalled again." At this point, God will send Jesus back to the earth. Matthew goes on to say so in verses 30 and 31. The description is, "Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Jesus will come to fulfill the promise made to his mother Mary before his birth. Luke records in chapter 1 and verses 32 and 33, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Yes, Jesus is coming to be king of the Jews, but not of the Jews only. He is to be king of the whole world. God promised Jesus that it would be so, and God never breaks his promises. Psalm 2 and verse 8 says, "I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession." And Psalm 72 verse 11 says, "All kings fall down before him, all nations serve him." There's no getting away from this future reality. Revelation 19 and verse 16 says just what Jesus will be: King of kings and Lord of lords. Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 to 34 described his purpose as judge of the world and those in it. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. The people of every nation will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, my father has blessed you. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.' It will be a time of great blessing for the people who survive God's judgment of the world and live in the kingdom age. They will enjoy good health, peaceful life, and will learn of God's ways, just as we read in Isaiah 35. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 17 describes it like this: "At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart." There are two other beautiful facts about God's choice of his son, Jesus, as king. Firstly, he is the perfect man for the job. Think of his character. As well as being sinless, he was loving, gracious, compassionate, and sensitive to the needs of the weak. He was also brave, mentally strong, just, and not affected by corrupt practices around him. He had the power and authority of God at his command. As king of the world, he will need all of those qualities to rule the nations. Secondly, because he lived a perfect, sinless life on earth, always doing his father's will, After his death, God raised him from the dead and made him immortal. When Jesus comes back to the earth, things will change. When men and women realize that life under God's laws are far better than under man's rule. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 is clear. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So the world will never need another ruler. But there's more to it than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 25 and 26 tell us that Jesus will rule until all God's enemies are destroyed, and finally, the curse of death itself will be destroyed. Death itself will be destroyed. What does that mean? It means that sin will be done away with, and therefore there is no need for death, since sin and death are linked to each other from the sin of Adam and Eve in the very beginning. No doubt you have a plan for this life. Perhaps it includes getting married, having a family, having a home, providing for your family, preparing for old age. For many people, these are desirable goals. However, they do not compare with the plan that God has planned for those who faithfully believe, trust, and obey him now. Let's just look at some of God's promises. When Jesus comes to raise the dead and judge the world, he will give everlasting life to those who have loved and obeyed God. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Those who are blessed with everlasting life will reign with Jesus over God's kingdom and help him establish God's laws throughout the world, throughout the earth, for 1,000 years, as it tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. For they, that is God's faithful ones, came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. During this 1,000-year period, there will still be a mortal population on the earth, just like now, but they will be living justly under God's laws, ruled by Jesus and his redeemed followers. That time is called the millennium and will last 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, there will be a second judgment with the resurrection of those of the mortal population who turned to Jesus during that time, and they too will be made more immortal. Paul tells us about this in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 28. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So think about it for a minute. How does God's plan for his servants compare with your own plans? Is it bigger and grander? Of course it is. Your plan is at best for a lifetime. God's plan is for eternity. And there are only three conditions. Believe, be immersed into that belief, and try to change your life to be more like Jesus. The unpleasant fact that we all have to face is that we are mortal. But God has a plan for us. Do you want to live forever in God's new world? You can, but you need to do something about it. And that starts by obeying him now. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, follow me, and if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's almost too good to be true, but in Mark 16 and verse 16, God promised, whoever believes and is immersed will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. In Matthew 16 and verse 27, Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. And finally, the time when the world has been restored to the way it was when God created it is described for us by Jesus in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. We read there, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. God does not want you to miss that great day. So think about it and believe it, because these things are going to happen, and sooner than you may think. And if you do believe it, then you need to be immersed into the saving name of Jesus and to try to be the person who Jesus will be happy to welcome into his kingdom when it comes.